everybody, and welcome to Books Unbound, the podcast where we unbind books to get to their hearts with your hosts, me, it's Ariel, and...
me, Raylene.
Woohoo!
Hello!
So excited to be here today talking to you guys about books. Me and Raylene are not at our best right now. I just woke up from a nap. She's got all the lights off because her eyes are super dilated from an eye appointment. We're a disaster, but you know what? We're so excited to be chatting with you guys today. Before we dive in, I definitely want to acknowledge the elephant in the room. I hope that everyone is doing okay during this crazy coronavirus time. Everyone can do their role to try and help us all out. Self-distance, everyone. Self-isolate. Social distance. But the one thing that me and Raylene can do is get your minds off of it for an hour. We're going to hang out. We're going to talk about books. And we really hope that this brings some comfort to everyone during this very stressful time. So no matter where you are in the world, our hearts are with you. We love you so much. And let's talk about books. And let our minds rest for a gosh darn second, because it is a stressful as heck time.
Let's just think about books. Honestly, I've just been doing nothing but reading and playing Stardew Valley. Like, when I have a day off, I'm I just want to do something else.
I know. And like, I've heard so many people talking about Animal Crossing and like how it's coming at the literal perfect moment, and I cannot agree more. I'm so excited to get Animal Crossing going.
Speaking of Animal Crossing, I just got an email from Amazon. Mine is not going to be showing up until next week, even though it comes out on Friday. I guess when we're recording this, it'll be a little bit later. I'm mad, but it's okay.
That's sad.
I've got Stardew Valley.
I think that you should just order it online and then return the physical one.
We'll see.
That's
what
I would do.
I'll think about it.
The other thing I should mention before we jump in is that we're pretty close now, only a couple of weeks away from our special book club episode. So if you want to take part, we are reading The Memory Police by Yoko Ogawa. Definitely read it so that when we release that episode, you can take part and have fun. There's definitely kind of like a non-spoilery section at the beginning, but just to like fully enjoy that episode, definitely read along. But also, if you want to submit a voice clip, you've got to submit that before April 3rd. I forget exactly what we said the deadline was. It was like, I think around then, right? Yeah, April 3rd time. So please make sure to send that in with just a subject line that says, what do we want? Memory Police. You can tell I'm asleep. Memory Police voice clip. And just give us a 30-second clip of any thought you had about the book so that we can discuss it and we can all chat about it together. So with all of that out of the way, Raylene, what are you currently reading?
Okay, so my answer to this is kind of boring this week because I am still reading Severance by Ling Ma. So I
feel that.
I'm still reading the same book I was reading last week. But yeah, I'm a little farther into it now. I, once again, just haven't spent a lot of time reading this the past few days. I've been busy, but it's really good. It's very, like, low-key for a kind of apocalypse-type story. Like, it's not super action-packed or super violent or anything like that. So I feel like for people who maybe want to read something that's kind of dystopian or apocalyptic but are kind of scared of it at the same time, I feel like this might be a good like entry into that, because like I said last week, half the book is just like about her working in an office. So it is very like mundane in a lot of ways, which I really like about it. So but yeah, I hopefully I'll have finished this by next week. I mean, I'll definitely finish it by next week. It's my new goal.
I'll hold you to it. I just used speaking about people maybe wanting to read about like outbreaks, virus, etc. It's a real thing. And I right now I'm trying to find a good graphic novel that is about a pandemic, because I have a couple of books like Station 11, Severance, The Plague by Albert Camus.
That's another one I was adding to my list. Yeah.
Yeah, there are a couple of novels, but I was like, a graphic novel would be pretty cool. So I asked for recommendations on Instagram and I've been getting some. So that's really fun. But also, I watched the movie Contagion, and I'm going
to
tell
you right meaning
now,
to watch that.
If you are at all stressed about COVID, do not watch Contagion. It is such a good movie. Honestly, very good. I was very entertained the entire time, and it was, it's not really a very exciting movie, like as in obviously it's about this pandemic and it's like stressful as all hell, but it doesn't really, like, get to the point where, like, everyone becomes zombies or, like, it doesn't, like, climax to a crazy point. Yeah. It's very realistic. So some people get the disease and they're kind of like, great, now what do I do? And then other people are, like, trying to avoid it. And it's kind of about, like, the politics behind it. And but it's fascinating. Like, it's really well done and I really, really enjoyed it. But it was so stressful because it seemed so real that I was like, this is us. And this is our politicians aren't listening and we're not staying home and, like, all of these sorts of things.
No, it's interesting because I can see why people would not want to watch something like that. But to me, it's almost like extra interesting, especially because of what's happening right now. It's like, I want to see how, like, in a fictional world, people would react to something like this and be able to compare and contrast with what's happening now. Like, it just seems like an interesting dynamic to me. So
I totally agree. And that's why my family watched it and we really enjoyed it. But if you are the kind of person who's, like, scared and really nervous right now and you are trying to escape it, don't watch that. It's too real.
Definitely don't.
Well, I'm so excited, really, to tell you what I'm currently reading. Okay. Obviously, it isn't what I told you I'd be reading.
Well, obviously. Why would you do that? Why would you change now?
That would be crazy. But the book that I'm currently reading is actually very, very exciting. And I don't know why I picked this up except for, you know, a gut feeling. I started reading the Frida Kahlo biography by Hayden Herrera, which is one of my big books for this year.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. And that is the one that you said you wanted to start with before you said you were going to read 1Q84. So
yes, exactly. I guess I just trusted my heart and I went where my heart wanted to go. And my heart wanted to spend some time with Frida. Frida is a big hero of mine for a lot of reasons. I don't remember how it all... Actually, I just did remember how it all started. Me and my ex-boyfriend were hanging out and he was doing something. I remember that I wasn't allowed to speak for like 2 hours.
Oh my God.
Because he was like recording something or something. And we were like in the same room. And so I just started Googling random crap. I was just like Googling anything I could think of. And I thought, like, Frida. Everyone's always talking about Frida Kahlo. I don't know anything about her. Who is she? Why does she matter? Like, I obviously know her just in the way that everyone knows who she is, but I was just like, I don't really know anything about her. So I read her entire Wikipedia page, which is a chunky boy. I read the entire Wikipedia page just sitting in silence because I wasn't allowed to talk. And I became fascinated. I was like, this woman is so interesting. She's so cool. I want to read a book about her. And so because usually when I, like, get interested in someone, I just Google them and then I'm, like, satiated and I'm like, okay, cool. I never want to, like, then read an entire biography. But for some reason with Frida, I was like, there's so much to learn. So I started, I like went to the bookshop, I remember, and I bought this one book about her. I read it and I was so excited. And then an addiction started and I started buying Frida Kahlo books. And I now have, like, I don't know, 12 or 16 or something. Yeah. To be fair, some wonderful company, book publisher of art books, found me and sent me like five. So they really escalated the entire pile. But yeah, ever since then, I've wanted to read this biography of hers because it's kind of the main one. It's like the most important kind of the pinnacle biography. But it's so big that I've avoided it. But yeah, I'm not that deep into it yet because I just started it like yesterday or 2 days ago. I forget. I've lost all track of time. And what else is new? I'm lost. I'm always lost in time. And but yeah, I'm really enjoying it so far. And it's already written really well. Do you know what I mean?
Well, that's good.
Writing style isn't boring. It's a little, it's like you can tell that the biographer's in love with Frida too. And I like that angle because I'm just like, yeah, I love her too. Let's just talk about how cool
someone
she
who
is.
Writes a whole book about her should be obsessed with her.
Yeah.
And love her.
Yeah.
So that makes
totally
sense.
Agree. So yeah, so I'm really enjoying that. And I don't think I'll be done it by next week because it's so big. But I will
keep
you updated.
Just don't start another book.
Yeah, I will. Don't worry.
Trust me, I will.
Well, have you finished anything since last week?
In fact, yes. I mean, I'll just give a quick shout out to the library at Mount Char. I finished that because I was like 80 pages away from the end. So that barely counts. But I started
I have to pause you right there. My friend Dylan, who I've mentioned on the podcast before, he specifically messaged me And he said, tell Raylene to tell you. And so I guess this is the moment. How much she liked that book, Library of Char, because he thought it sounded really awesome. So yeah, well, can you actually go a little more into, did you really enjoy it? Do you recommend it? Dylan needs to know.
Okay, so here's the thing. It is a really, really, really weird book.
Okay.
And it's a specific brand of weird that will only appeal to some people, I feel like. Mm-hmm. I feel like people who enjoyed The Hike would like that one, because that's another book I read not too long ago that was just super, super weird. Like, very kind of surreal and, like, lots of weird things just being thrown at the main character all the time and not necessarily being explained fully.
Right. Yeah.
Although this one, I feel like, was a little more of, like, a guided insanity tour rather than, like, The Hike, which was just, like, an explosion of weird. So this one, like, it does have a structure to it, and there are, like, grander things going on behind the scenes that you discover as you go along. So I would say it's a really interesting book. I gave it 3 out of 5 stars, maybe more like a 3.5, just because there was so much time spent, like, not knowing what was happening, and I personally don't like that, but it could obviously work for other people. So it's like a surreal kind of fantasy with lots of, like, violent parts, so if you don't like that, don't read it, but I was able to tolerate it because I'm tough. So, yeah, those are pretty much all my thoughts.
Raylene is tough. Well, Dylan, I hope that helps. What was the other book you were going to mention?
Well, the other book I'm going to mention is one that I completely started and finished over the weekend.
I
listened to the entire audiobook while playing Stardew Valley. So this is a 9-hour-long audiobook, if that tells you anything. And that is Always and Forever Lara Jean by Jenny Han.
No way.
I finally read the third book. I told myself I wasn't going to read it until the third movie came out.
I remember.
But I just really, really wanted to tie a bow around that series, you know? I didn't want to leave it hanging out too long after having read the second book.
I respect that.
It was fine. just like the first two, 3 out of 5 stars. You know, the series doesn't really do anything super special, in my opinion, but I just enjoy, I enjoy it. I enjoy the
world. Did it feel like watching another movie from them?
I could definitely see a third movie happening and being amazing. So if that answers your question, then but in this one, I remember after we saw the second movie together, we were like, what happens in the third book? And so we looked it up and we're like, it's about them going to college. But it's not really about them going to college. It's about the lead up to them thinking about going to college. Okay. And so I was hoping for some long distance relationship, college action, but it was mostly just them being like, did I get accepted? Where am I gonna go? And so it was just like, I don't know, I feel like if the plot was a little bit unnecessary, like the third book could have been something a little more interesting and more dramatic, but it's okay. It was a fun time. I really like the audiobook too, so I recommend checking out the audiobooks if you ever want to read the series and aren't sure if it's your thing. The audiobooks are pretty short and easy to listen to, so
Well, good job. Not as surprising maybe as my two celebrity memoir books, but still very surprising.
A shocker.
You had specifically said that you weren't going to read that book for a year, I was like not prepared.
And then I put it on hold at the library, and then it showed up, and I was like, well, I guess I have to read it. And then I listened to the audiobook, so it didn't even matter that I had the book with me, so that's my story. So that happens to me all the time. I always listen to audiobooks for things that I just bought, and I'm like, why did I do that? Why did I spend $20 when I could just listen to it for free? I guess not for free. But,
Man. Well, that is our reading then, I guess. It is now time to move into book news. Book news. Woohoo! Okay, Raylene, I think that you should start us off. What is your book news?
Okay, my book news I just got half an hour ago, was just browsing because I remembered I needed to get book news. And the book news I found is actually related to COVID. So I thought it was a nice thing, not like a nice thing to share, but it is kind of a nice upside.
I have a feeling that you were about to say my same book news.
Oh my God. Well, if it is, we can talk about it together. So this was an article on the CBC Books website. And basically, Canadian children's writers and illustrators are sharing readings of their books online.
That's so nice. That's not my book news, thank goodness. That's beautiful.
So basically, a bunch of different authors have been uploading videos of themselves reading their like picture books. Yeah. And just so that people who are stuck at home, you know, like kids who are bored and want to read a book or want to see a reading, but they weren't able to go to a live event, they can now sit at home and watch them read their books, which I think is super cute.
I think that that is so beautiful. I saw a similar thing from the States that Amy Adams and Jennifer Garner have started like this little movement to get celebrities to read picture books to kids.
Oh, that's really
And I know
cool.
that like Natalie Portman read one and Jimmy Fallon has read one. So I think that that is so beautiful. And yeah, I love that. I love that very much.
Right.
I don't know. I think it's really nice. Like obviously parents aren't and like incapable of taking care of their kids at home. Summer vacation is a thing when they have to do that too.
Yeah.
But it is unexpected. It's a really big surprise. Also, it's a really stressful time for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And so to be able to like share these stories with kids, and people are obviously breaking insane copyright laws by doing this, but we're all just fine with it anyway. I think that's really beautiful.
Yeah. It's like the rules are different right now.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Well, speaking of the rules are different right now, my news comes from Scribd. Do you use Scribd?
Yeah, Scribd? That's the app I use, but I never want to say its name because I never know if that's how you pronounce it.
Well, I have no idea. I think it's Scribd. So do you use Scribd for audiobooks?
Yeah, I use it for audiobooks. That's the main app I use because it just has pretty much all the things that I want, usually.
Yeah. So Scribd is a paid service. You pay and then you get a certain amount of like new releases and then their backlist. I know I've never used it myself, but I've had people tell me to use it because it's apparently really, really great. I've been told it's like the Netflix for audiobooks.
Does it that is. Feel and accurate? I've never actually had anything backlisted and I use it quite often. So,
Also
I guess maybe I don't listen to a ton of new releases, but I've never had any issues downloading things. Like everything is ready for me right away. So,
oh, well that's so awesome.
Yeah, I
clearly need to look into it, but I saw a lot of people on my social media posting this message from the founder and CEO of Scribd, because they've announced that for the next month they are going to make the entire library, which includes millions of ebooks, audiobooks, magazine articles, and more, available to anyone free for 30 days. There is no credit card or commitment required. So it's not like going to try and trick you at the end of the month and like charge you or anything. Yeah. They are just giving their service for free for 30 days. Again, very, very similar
to
your story.
Yeah.
This is just a beautiful moment when like the book community is coming together to be like, we're all stressed, we all need entertainment, we all need distraction,
and not everyone can afford to pay for it.
Yeah, exactly. We don't have money. People are like, a lot of people are like being laid off until this gets resolved, and so to like offer it for free is just really awesome. And it says, if you need a recommendation for something to read, the Scribd team is here for you. Whether you're looking for anything, we want to help the best way we can, or the best way we know how, through books. So yeah, you can get a personalized recommendation and everything.
Whoa, I want
so,
that.
Yeah, it seems so nice. I just think that that's really friendly, and I'm gonna use it because I've never done Scribd before, so now I'm gonna try downloading that. And yeah, I feel crazy for ever having paid for audiobooks before, because now that I have Libby and Scribd, if I use Scribd, I'm kind of like, Audible, actually, to be honest, Audible is really good because you can definitely get a book at any time. And I have had emergency reading situations happen where I needed an audiobook and it wouldn't have been available from the library and stuff. And probably, I bet you, I don't know anything about this. If people do know about this, you should let us know on like Instagram. But I'm sure that authors probably make more money through Audible than they do through Scribd or Libby, right?
Yeah.
Because it's like a library. So
well, yeah,
because
I mean,
Scribd
costs like me $12 a month or something. So it's a pretty low cost for the amount of books I get to listen to.
Yeah, so maybe they don't make as much off of it. So maybe that's another way that Audible is not so bad.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's just we're lucky to have so many ways to get audiobooks.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I really like both of our book news. Very uplifting stories there. Now it's time for us to jump into recommendations.
Heck yeah.
Heck, let's do this thing. Well, speaking of audiobooks, this is a perfect segue for yours.
Yeah, so Elizabeth has sent us a request which says, I am just getting into audiobooks and I would love a recommendation for a fiction book you would suggest listening to. Possibly a book where listening to the audiobook is better than physically reading it. Currently listening to The Poet X and have heard that two other books that are great on audio are On the Come Up and Daisy Jones. I usually tend to go more towards contemporary, but anything fiction is great for me. So that's super fun. But yeah, I can double the recommendation that Daisy Jones works really well as an audiobook. Her other book, The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo, is also a great audiobook. Not my recommendation, but just throwing that out there because I listened to it and it was amazing. I love books that have more than one narrator. It just like brings the whole thing alive. And Evelyn Hugo has three different narrators. Daisy Jones is full cast, obviously. We all know this.
Yeah.
But yeah, the book that I ended up picking for this is one that I mentioned, I think, on the first episode. And I'm bringing it back around because I love this book so much.
Oh, good.
And that is The Traveling Cat Chronicles by Hiro Arikawa. Japanese fiction about a cat. That's my brand.
Meow.
So this one, I've never actually like read the physical copy, but I did listen to the audiobook, so I can't really compare the two. But I thought it worked so well as an audiobook. This is about a guy who kind of adopts a stray cat that hangs out near his house, and he previously had another cat that looked kind of similar to this cat, and so he like has an emotional attachment to this cat because his other cat is gone. He's gone and dead, sad days. And so and so he has this new cat, and but the book is told from the perspective of the cat, which is what makes the book so much fun to listen to, because just the voice of the narrator, the way he talks, you can imagine that he's actually a cat. Like, that's he just has like a very like kind of haughty like way about the way he talks. He's just like, oh yes, I'm a cat and his name is Nana. It's just like very cute. It's just, it's adorable, and it's about them going on a road trip, and just seeing everything from a cat's perspective is so fun. And that's pretty much it. I just love this book, so I highly recommend it. It was probably the, actually, I think this is the book that got me into my cat collection. This is the one that started it all. So if that says
this
anything.
This is where it falls apart for everyone else. Suddenly everyone's buying cat books because of you.
This one is so good.
I keep, like... In moments of stress over the last week, I keep wanting to buy a cat. And I'm like, I don't need to buy a cat.
You just don't.
This is not the moment to get a cat. But I just keep thinking about how fun it would be. But I have a cat.
But a new cat is always fun.
A kitten. A kitten.
I want a kitten too.
Fun.
My cat needs a new friend. I should get a kitten.
If you get a kitten, I will come visit. I will social distance. I will just hover 3 meters away from your house while I watch the kitten through the window.
Worth it. That's definitely worth the 4-hour drive, right? I think so.
That's so funny. You know what I am going to do instead of getting a kitten? Because, you know, I can't really afford that and I shouldn't. I have so many pets to love. Although I do want chickens also, and I keep thinking like that would be a good source of eggs. But then I have to feed the chickens, so really it just doesn't work out that well. But
no.
I'm gonna start a garden. I've always wanted to start a garden. That's been like a goal of mine for years, but because
awesome.
We've moved so much, I just haven't been able to. And I'm like, right now is the perfect time. Like, I'm self-isolating, so I can't, I'm not going outside ever, and I need a reason to force me to go out. And so it'll be fun to just like make a garden bed. I'm a little nervous because there's a lot of deer around and I feel like they're gonna cause me problems.
You'll need a big fence.
But yeah, tomorrow I have to drive my boyfriend to work so that he can get his laptop updated with, because he works at a library, right? And so finally he's allowed to work at home. He's been taking vacation days to stay at home, but now he's going to be able to like properly work from home, and they're going to download the cataloging like program onto his laptop.
Oh, cool.
Also, very excitingly, he gets to bring the scanner home, so I'm gonna
I
get
love
to
scanners.
Scan books. I also freaked out. I was like, I can't wait. I was like, can I please scan the books? He said yes, thank God. But yeah, so I have to drive him because he doesn't have his driving license in this province yet. And so it's so funny because I'm not allowed out of the car. I'm supposed to self-isolate, right? So I'm gonna make him go into Home Depot /Rona and buy bags of dirt for me.
Gotta get that garden going.
Get all my gardening needs. I'm just, the one problem with this gardening idea is that I know I'm gonna like plant them and wake up tomorrow morning and expect them to be in phase one, like Stardew Valley, and like already see buds, and I'm just gonna look at my window and it's just gonna be dirt for like weeks.
Yep. Gonna have to adjust your expectations.
It's not gonna be as satisfying, but that's okay. Book that I've chosen for Elizabeth is, I'm not sure if I've mentioned it on the podcast before. I feel like maybe I have. But it is Stardust by Neil Gaiman.
I don't think you've talked about it.
Okay, perfect. So just generally, I recommend any audiobook by Neil Gaiman. I have listened to, I think, 4 audiobooks by him, and like years and years ago, before audiobooks were as big as they are now, because I think we can all admit audiobooks, we didn't used to read them like we do in the like the last, I feel like, like 3-ish years, audiobooks have picked up so hard and fast, which is really exciting. And they're also, the production quality is getting so much better. Like, you and me are listening to the Twilight audiobooks, and I think we can really see how far we've come as a society. But yeah, so before audiobooks were really big, the first audiobook that I ever remember listening to was Coraline by Neil Gaiman.
Oh, interesting.
And I bought it at Chapters in like a box set of CDs. I came home and I like downloaded it onto my iTunes. And then when my laptop still had a disk drive, for God's sakes. And then, yeah, listened to that. And I loved it. I was obsessed with it. I just thought it was so amazing. It also was a very high quality ebook, to be fair. It had like music, and there's rats in that book, and they like chanted in this terrifying way.
Oh my god.
Honestly, it haunts me to this day. But I was so excited because Neil Gaiman's voice is so beautiful. I don't know if you haven't heard his voice.
I've heard it. I listen to The Ocean at the End of the Lane.
Oh, there you go. Yep. So if you haven't heard his voice, I'm so sorry for your loss, because it is this gorgeous, rich, deep British accent, and it's very like gravelly and rough and like a cowboy, but a British one. like very cool and mysterious, and it very much matches like the tone of his books. And so he reads, I think, all of his audiobooks, maybe.
I'm pretty sure.
All of
Except for American Gods is full cast, which I've never read or listened to, but that's another recommendation for a cool one.
Yeah, that one's, you're right, that one's full cast,
that's
but he's also in that one. He's,
oh, yeah.
He's not the only person. Yeah, but Stardust, so I've listened to Stardust, Coraline, Graveyard Book, I think I read The Ocean at the End of the Lane, didn't listen to it, but I also have his, like, Neverwhere, and, like, these are all, if you go back in my history of buying audiobooks on Audible, they're all Neil Gaiman for the first, like, 3 years. I just bought Neil Gaiman books. Like, I just thought those were the only good audiobooks out there, but they are just so fun. I know that Elizabeth said, I usually tend to go more towards contemporary, but anything fiction is great. The thing about Stardust is, like, it's definitely not contemporary, obviously. It's, like, an adventure story. Think, like, pirates and, like medieval times adventure-type vibes. But it isn't, to me, and, like, I'm a person who has a hard time with fantasy. To me, it wasn't too much. Do you know what I mean? So,
yeah,
like,
totally.
It's... Yeah, they're sort of magic, but it's never like crazy, like, okay, well, this has just gotten out of control and I don't understand the magic system, and
because it's also still kind
rules.
Of based in the real world, right?
Yeah, so the exactly. So the I don't know if you've seen the movie. Have you seen the movie for Stardust?
I have, but I don't remember much of it. It's been a long time.
I fucking love this movie. I think it's so fun. But yeah, basically it's about this kid who lives in this town called Wall, and he there's this wall, obviously, in his town, and no one ever goes to the other side of the wall, and like, he doesn't really get why. He thinks it must be fake news. But one day he jumps over the wall and ends up going on a really big adventure. Actually, no, that's his dad, Tristan. Not Tristan's the main character. His dad ends up going on the other side of the wall, has like this flirtation with this woman that he meets over there, and he sees all this crazy stuff. He comes back home, he kind of forgets all about that crazy day, and then one day, like a couple months later, he gets a baby on his door, and that's our main character, Tristan. Oh. He came from this affair that he had, and he was like, well, okay, I guess I gotta raise my son. So he raises his son, and then one day his son is kind of like, decides to go on an adventure to get a star that he saw that fell on the other side of the wall. That's why it's called Stardust. And he goes over there and he finds the star. But what's really fun is that the star is a woman. Like, she's like a sentient person, human being. And it's just about their adventure through this mystical land. And it's so much fun. And yeah, it's just a really good time. So if you're looking for an audiobook, nothing gets me more hyped than Neil Gaiman, let me tell you right now.
Yeah, that was going to be one of my other just general recommendations, is reading books that are narrated by the authors themselves.
Agree.
Like, Stephen King narrates a lot of his own audiobooks. Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie has done some of hers as well, and I've listened to those, and they're great. So I really recommend listening to things that are narrated by the author, because it's their story or their book, and they know the best way to tell it, right? So
I
think
agree.
That's something that's worth seeking out.
I totally agree. Mm-hmm. If I were to ever write a book, god damn it, let's fingers crossed, really. if I ever finish a book, I would love to read the audiobook. But I also know that I don't have the most intensely beautiful voice. Like, you know, some accents or people that you listen to, you're just like, oh my god, wow, what a voice. I feel like I have just an average, like, a human voice.
Just an average human. Yeah.
I should train reading audiobooks to get better, so that one day I can read my own audiobook and they'll actually let me do it.
That's a great idea. You should get into narrating audiobooks just for fun.
I definitely thought about that as a career path, like, many years ago when I was kind of, like, still in early undergrad. BookTube wasn't, like, huge for me, and I didn't know if I could make a living off of it, and I didn't really want to work in publishing. I was like, what could I do? And I was like, narrate audiobooks.
I've thought of that too, but I'm like, my voice is not good enough.
Yeah, I have an average voice, and that's okay.
I've accepted that about myself.
You know what's hilarious? I have seen, during this COVID situation, that's what we should all call it, the COVID situation. I don't know what else to refer to it as, but I have seen a lot of memes about it. Honestly, they make me laugh. Thank God for all of these trash memes, because they're helping me through it. But I've seen a lot of people being like, during the plague, Isaac Newton discovered gravity, and like, during another plague, Shakespeare was quarantined and he wrote King Lear, and like, all of these people talking about like all of the great art that has come from quarantines. But then also I have seen other people responding to that just being like, the novel you just started during self-quarantine is not gonna be any good. And what's hilarious is that last night I started a novel about a quarantine, and I'm like, well, I am the greatest cliche. I am it. Here I am, the pinnacle of cliche, writing a novel while quarantined.
Gotta do something.
Gotta fill the hours, really. Yeah. I am convinced it is the next great Canadian novel. If I do say so myself, I'm about 700 words in.
Oh man, I can't wait to hear the audiobook.
Yes. Well, actually, speaking of Canada, shoot, we're doing a great job with segues here.
This is an awesome episode.
Our next recommendation request comes from Sarah. So Sarah says, hello, I am in the midst of a quarter life crisis, so I decided to book a 6-week trip to British Columbia. Uh-oh, do you think that trip still happened?
Oh my god, I didn't even think about that. Please still come here. It's good.
Regardless, really, someday someone will come back to Canada. and this recommendation is for you. Or maybe you're wishing that you were able to come to Canada, and we can recommend you something that will satiate that traveling bug.
There you go.
I'm looking for a book set in Canada to read while I'm traveling. I'm up for any kind of book, but preferably no murder mysteries, please, as I'm traveling alone, and I don't want that in my brain. All right, beautiful. Let's help Sarah feel like she's in Canada if she's not currently in Canada. What did you pick, Raylene?
Okay, so at first I was like, have I read any books set in Canada? And of course I have, but I thought of one that I read a few years ago that actually takes place in British Columbia also.
Oh my god. Okay.
So that's pretty hardcore. And this book is called Wild Awake by Hillary T. Smith. Have you heard of this?
I have not heard of it.
It's kind of like a weird unknown YA book. It came out in 2013, so it's 7 years old now. Wow, I feel old. And this one takes place in the Vancouver area also. So reading this for me personally was really interesting because it's like, I've been there. I know that street. I know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
But the basic premise of this book, it's about a girl whose parents go away on vacation or something. So she's all alone in her house and she's like, yeah, I'll be productive. I'll do stuff. But whatever, you know how teenagers are. And anyways, so the thing that kind of sparks the whole plot is this random guy calls her up because of backstory. Her sister died 5 years before. So this guy calls her up and says, hey, I used to be friends with your sister and I have her stuff. Come get it. And she's like, what? What do you mean? Like, what stuff? She's like, just wait until my parents are back. They'll come get it. And he's like, no, come now. Here's the address. And then he just hangs up. Okay. And then so she kind of shows up and she's like, hello. And so that kind of like just starts the whole chain of events of, you know, all the weird stuff that that her sister had and like why this guy is contacting her. And it also has to do a lot with music because the main character and her friend are like in a band and they're trying to win Battle of the Bands and all this stuff.
Yeah.
But then throughout the book, the writing style kind of fluctuates, but in a way that like is really cool rather than being like weird and not making sense. Just because kind of the way it's written kind of changes with the way the main character's mental state is, because it is kind of about mental illness a little bit, and the way that the story moves around is just like the way it's written is so well done. So I really like this book. I read it in like a night, maybe two. Like I remember staying up really late reading this book because it was so interesting and unlike anything I've ever read.
Yeah.
So I highly recommend it, especially if you're going to Vancouver. It's a really interesting book to check out. So that's my recommendation.
That's a perfect recommendation. Well, I had the same situation. Well, maybe kind of, I didn't realize it as quickly as you realized it. Because when I first read this, I was like, oh, I'd love to recommend a book set in Canada. Let's definitely do this one. I have loads to pick from.
Yep.
And then I start looking at my shelves and I'm like, no, I don't. I don't have loads to pick from.
I know. I do not have as many as I wish I did.
Yeah, it's kind of sad. Very often.
We're bad.
Obviously, there are Canadian authors. That's not what we're saying. But very often, the place isn't even important to the story if it is a Canadian author. Sometimes, the Canadian author will put a book set in the States. So, it's kind of like, even though the author's Canadian, it doesn't matter that, like, because the setting is somewhere else. Mm-hmm. So, actually, I realized it was harder than I thought to find one. However, I did prevail. So first, the two that came to my mind originally were Albatross, but I didn't want to use that one because I talked about it last week, but I really enjoyed that book and it is set in Toronto. And as someone who spent a lot of time in Toronto, it was really fun because just like what you were saying, I kept being like, oh, I've been there. I've been there. I also think it does a really good job of kind of talking about Canada and how like bigger professionals end up moving to the States and like what that relationship is between America and Canada. So I thought that was a really good one. And then also I thought of Scott Pilgrim, which is set in Toronto, but I haven't read it. So I was like, I've seen the movie though, and the movie is so good. So then I was looking through my shelves and I was like, okay, I could recommend this or this. And then I decided to just recommend two books I haven't read, really. And I don't know why I'm doing this.
I have almost done this so many times. I'm glad you're breaking the ice because I've wanted to do it.
Right? I was like, you know what? We're going to have to do this eventually. So I'm just going to do it now. So I'm going to recommend two books that I haven't read. And I'm doing two because I can barely talk about them, of course.
I see.
But I've heard really great things about both of these. So even if I don't end up liking them, like a lot of people do like them.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is Bellevue Square by Michael Redhill. So I actually don't know if this isn't a murder mystery.
That book I've heard is really surreal and weird is all I know about that book.
Yeah. So what I know about this one is that the main character is called Jean and that people keep coming up to her and mistaking her for someone else. She Ooh. Works at a bookshop, and it says here, apparently her identical twin hangs out in Kensington Market. And if you know Toronto, like, this is very much set in Toronto. Bellevue Square, the name of the book, is an actual place in Toronto. Mm. They're where I have been, it turns out. I looked very it up good. And I was like, yeah, I've been there. Yeah, so people keep coming up to her, but it turns out that her doppelganger, who is, like, basically her identical twin, is doing not great things, and so people are blaming her for it. This sounds like really a lot of fun. Like I said, it's set in a bookshop, but I don't know how much of it takes place in that bookshop. But yeah, I'm super intrigued. I've owned this one for quite a while, and I really, really have been wanting to read it forever, and I just really wish that I had read it sooner so that I could fully recommend it, but here I am. And then the other one I recommended, because I felt like we had to talk about some Aboriginal texts, because we do have such a great Aboriginal publishing section here in Canada. So the one that I wanted to talk about is Birdie by Tracy Lindberg. Do you own this one? I feel like you own this one for some reason.
No, I don't.
Why do I think that? I was like very certain. I was like, for sure, Raylene owns this one. Why do
no,
I
No, but
think
that one's
I
been,
that?
It's been on my radar for a long time, but I never bought it.
Yeah. Okay. So again, I was like, I could talk about Indian Horse by Richard Wagamese, which is one of my favorite books, and I love it. But I've already talked about it. So I was like, instead, I will also shout out Birdie by Tracy Lindberg. So this is about a Canadian Aboriginal woman. She's Cree. And it says that she has a dark secret in her past, and she's left her home in northern Alberta to travel to Gibson's, BC, which was another reason why I wanted to mention it, because it's set in British Columbia. It says she's on something of a vision quest, looking for family, for home, and for understanding. And it seems like we just get to really know her and what's happening. But as when she arrives in Gibson's, do you know where Gibson's is? You've lived here for so much longer than I have. I don't know where that
I
is.
I actually don't.
Uh-oh. Okay.
I'm a bad British Columbian.
Birdie begins to draw from her dreams the lessons she was never fully taught in life. And it's informed by the lore and knowledge of Cree traditions. Darkly comic and moving novel. About the universal experience of recovering from tragedy. So it's about a powerful woman, and I think it sounds really, really cool. I have wanted to read it for a while, and I suck for not having read it, but here I am.
It happens.
There you go, everyone. There are a bunch of Canadian reads for all of our American pals down in the States who aren't allowed to come up here anymore, and for everyone else who just should stay at home anyways. You can escape to Canada through some books.
Yeah.
But that brings us to the end of our episode. Whoa. We did it, Raylene. Every single time that we finish, I'm like proud of us. I'm like, good job, guys. Go
Me
team.
Too. We made it through even though you were asleep half an hour ago and I'm sitting in the dark. It's gotten darker and darker as we record.
It really has. It's super funny. At the beginning, guys, I mean, you have to know that when I first called Raylene, because we always video chat, Raylene just is on camera wearing sunglasses, and I'm like, what's happening? And we just burst out laughing. And then she was like, no, I can't do it because your eyes were so dilated.
Yeah.
The light was hurting Raylene. And so
it
she
was
turned
too
off
bright.
The lights.
It was making me feel ill.
She turned off the lights in the room and like put on a nightlight, which was kind of made it a cool, moody lighting. But now it's like, what, it's 7:30 at night and it's
I'm
gotten
just in
very
a red,
dark and I can
red
barely
darkness
see
because my salt lamp is the only thing lighting this room. Oh, who am I? What am
I? Oh, man. Well, we're off to record our Patreon mini bonus podcast. Thank you so much to everyone who's supporting us over on Patreon. Also, thank you so much to everyone who's following us on Instagram. We are this close, and when I say this close, I'm pinching my hands about an Animal Farm length book about 80 pages away from 7,000 followers, and that is so exciting to us, and we're so grateful, and we love that Instagram. Like, me and Raylene are we're pretty
it's
proud
my
of that
passion.
It's my passion.
What can I say?
So if you don't follow us already, please go follow us because it's all we care about. And yeah, thank you so much for joining us. We will talk to you guys next week. Bye
bye.